A proper understanding of creation and God as the Creator is foundational to our understanding of almost everything in the Christian worldview. In this message, Pastor Paul Tauchus begins a new series on the grand storyline of the Bible. The series is titled, From Garden to Garden, and it traces the key elements of this storyline across the Scriptures. Today on Delight in the Word, Pastor Paul Tauchus concludes a two-part message in the Old Testament book of Genesis, chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. His message is titled, God's First Words. In part 1, Pastor Paul introduced seven foundational truths we are called to embrace about creation. The first truth from part 1 was this, God created everything out of nothing. Let's open our Bibles to Genesis chapter 1 and hear the remaining truths as we together delight in the Word.
And now this self-existent, eternal God speaks. And that is the second truth we understand and heartily affirm by faith. God spoke the universe into existence. He spoke the earth. He spoke the heavens. He spoke all matter into existence. God alone has the power to create something out of nothing. We are made in the image of God, and therefore we can be creative, but we never create. God creates everything out of nothing. He alone has the power to speak life into existence. Notice the repetition of this phrase, and God said. For six consecutive days, God works by speaking particular portions of creation into existence. Verse 3, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw that the light was good, and God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night, and there was evening, and there was morning the first day. So, first day, God said, and there was light, and light broke through all of the darkness that was hovering over the deep. Then day 2, verse 6, and God said, let there be an expanse in the midst of the waters, and let it separate the waters from the waters. In other words, let there be sky that separates the water from below the sky from the water that is now above the sky. And God made the sky, the expanse, and separated the waters that were under the expanse from the waters that were above the expanse, and it was so. And God called the expanse heaven, or sky. This would be the first heaven. Bible would refer to as the first heaven, which would be the atmosphere, that which we can see with our eyes. The second heaven would then be outer space. The third heaven that Paul talked about in 2 Corinthians 12 is the very dwelling place of God. This is the first heaven, the sky, the atmosphere. Then day 3, and God said, he's speaking, let the waters under the heavens be gathered into one place. Let the dry land appear. And it was so. So God pushes the water aside to uncover the earth, and dry land appears. God called the dry land earth, or land, and the waters that were gathered together he called seas. And God saw that it was good. And God said, let the earth sprout vegetation, plants yielding seed, and fruit, trees bearing fruit, in which is their seed, each according to its kind on the earth. And it was so. The earth brought forth vegetation, plants yielding seed according to their own kinds, trees bearing fruit, in which there is seed, each according to its kind. And God saw that it was good, and there was evening, and there was morning, the third day. So on the third day, God pushes, by speaking, pushes the water aside, lets the land appear, the dry land then he fills with vegetation, plants of every kind, and notice, plants with seeds already in them. Day 4. And God said, verse 14, let there be lights in the expanse of the heavens to separate the day from the night. Let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. So let there be two lights in the sky, in space. And these two lights will then be that which governs our calendar. And let them be in the expanse of the heavens to give light upon the earth. And it was so. God made the two great lights, the greater light to rule the day, which we call the sun, the lesser light to rule the night, call that the moon, and the stars. So on day four, God created the sun, moon, and galaxies filled with stars. And God set them in the expanse of the heavens to give light on the earth, to rule over the day and over the night, and to separate the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening and there was morning, the fourth day. Verse 20, day five. And God said, let the waters swarm with living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth across the expanse of the heavens. So God created the great sea creatures and every living creature that moves, with which the waters swarm according to their kinds, and every winged bird according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. And God blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply and fill the waters and the seas, and let birds multiply on the earth. And there was evening and there was morning, the fifth day. So on day five, God fills the waters and the skies with creatures. Day six, verse 24. And God said, let the earth bring forth living creatures according to their kinds, livestock and creeping things and beasts of the earth according to their kinds. And it was so. And God made the beasts of the earth according to their kinds, and the livestock according to their kinds, and everything that creeps on the ground according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. Six times, and God said. And then he did his work, and there was evening, and there was morning, the first day, the second day, the third day, the fourth day, the fifth day, the sixth day. And every time, God said, this is good. God spoke the universe into existence. Everything came into being because God spoke. When God speaks, life begins. And the New Testament tells us that the agent of this speaking is the Word. In fact, the Apostle John undoubtedly borrows language from Genesis 1 in the opening lines of his gospel, when he writes, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. I draw your attention to that because throughout this sermon series, you are going to be convinced that Jesus Christ is the central figure of the Bible. He doesn't just show up in the New Testament as a baby in a manger. He's here, Genesis 1, creating. Colossians 1 says it is Christ who spoke, and all things were created. It is the Son of God. See, and just as God alone is the one who can speak physical life into existence, so God is the only one who can speak spiritual life into existence. And it is through the gospel that Jesus Christ speaks new life into sinners like you and me. And we move from being creatures under the condemnation of sin to becoming new creations of God, the redeemed, who are saved and forgiven and being reworked and renovated that we might bring more glory to our Savior. There's a third truth we understand and heartily affirm by faith, and that is that God was pleased with everything he created. You saw that as we read through the text, and it was good, verse 12 says the same thing in 18 and 21 and 31. In other words, in its original state, everything that God made was good. There was nothing deficient in God's creation. There was nothing that needed improvement. There was nothing that needed fixing up. Everything was good. Everything was complete. Everything brought him glory. Everything shouted his majesty until sin came into the world, which is for another week. There's a fourth truth we understand and heartily affirm, and that is that God made living things already mature, ready to produce. We saw that on day 3, verse 11. Plants yielding seed, fruit trees bearing fruit, in which is their seed. God didn't create seedlings. He created full-grown fruit trees already having their branches dripping with fruit, and inside the fruit, seeds. He created earth. When he spoke, he created earth in full maturity. Boom, there it was. Ready to replenish. Ready to fill the whole earth with his glory. We saw that in day 5 as well. Verse 21, God created the sea creatures and every living creature that moves. And he blessed them, verse 22, be fruitful and multiply and fill the waters in the seas and let birds multiply on the earth. God created all things good, and he created it, all things in a state of maturity, already ready to reproduce. So the stage is now set. Thus far, the stage is now set to receive the pinnacle of his creation, which is man. And so there is a fifth truth we understand and heartily affirm by faith, and that is that God created man and woman, two genders, as image bearers. There was a day we didn't have to say that. The most recent statistic is that there are now 63 claimed genders. It's not funny, folks. I know it is laughable to some extent, but it's not funny because this is the culture in which we live. This is a world trapped in the lies that Satan spreads because the most basic chapter of the Bible is not honored. And God the Creator is not worshipped. And that's what happens when we turn away from the revelation of God in his word. We come up with our own system, right? Our own rules, our own descriptions, our own definitions. But it's very clear on day 6 that God creates man, and he creates a man and woman. Together they are called man. Two genders, and they are image bearers. Look at verse 26. Then God said, let us make man. Now that's the first clue that this singular God is plural in being, in roles, in persons. We don't yet know it's three, but the rest of Scripture will show us that. Let us make man in our image, after our likeness. That's incredible. See, the creation of man is introduced differently than all the other parts of creation. Why? Because man is set apart as being the only part of creation that is made in the image of God. Now, we don't know all the ramifications of that. But it means that we have mind, emotion, and will. We have the capacity to have a relationship with God, to communicate with God. We reflect him in many different ways. As God is the worker in Genesis 1, we reflect him in our work. He's the creator. We reflect him in our creativity. We reflect him in honoring that which he created us to be, whether it's a man or a woman. We reflect his image by accepting and receiving who he created us to be and then living that out to his glory. He gave them dominion, verse 26, over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the heavens, and over the livestock, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female, he created them. This means that human life has inherent value that surpasses every other creature. We live in a society that wants to bring the dignity of human life down to the level of animals, the level of animals, their dignity of life up to human beings, so that that's all we are, is we're all a bunch of animals. And so putting a baby to death is not really any different than putting your dog down. That's the world we live in. But God says that human beings contain within themselves an indescribable value because we are made in his image. We are image bearers, that is, reflectors of his glory. That's what we are. We are reflectors of his glory. So, husbands and wives, when God gives you children and you hold them for the first time, you need to understand you are holding in your hands someone made in the very image of God, a reflector of his glory, given the capacity and the ability to bring glory to God as no other creature can. It's incredible. Number 6, we understand and heartily affirm by faith that God commanded man and woman to reproduce and dominate the earth. Verse 28, and God blessed them. And God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it. Take it over. And have dominion over the fish of the sea. See, if man doesn't dominate over the world, then the world takes over. Your garden left to itself for a month is evidence of that. Have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over every living thing that moves on the earth. And God said, behold, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is on the face of all the earth and every tree with seed in its fruit. You shall have them for food. By the way, side note, you'll see this in chapter 6 and 7 when we get to the flood, but meat is added to the menu after the flood. So you're okay. You don't have to become a vegetarian. Don't say, oh my word. No. Praise God for meat. So, to every beast of the earth and to every bird of the heavens and to everything that creeps on the earth, everything that has the breath of life, I have given every green plant for food, and it was so. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And there was evening and there was morning, the sixth day. So as stewards of the rest of the earth, man was commanded to take the beauty and purity of the Garden of Eden and spread it through the whole earth. That was God's plan, was that the entire earth would be filled with image bearers who would reflect his glory and live under his authority, happily letting him be the king of the earth. But of course, chapter 3 changes all that. But we'll get to that. But the Garden of Eden was a mini kingdom. And as Adam and Eve lived humbly and happily under God's rule, the kingdom then would become worldwide. But we'll see how Satan and sin change all of that. But one day, Scripture says, the King of Heaven will return, and the whole earth will again be filled with his glory. What a day. What a day that will be. And then there's a seventh truth we understand and heartily affirm, and that is that God established the seven-day week, which included a day of rest. Here's one of these poor chapter divisions in the Bible. Chapter 2 begins with the seventh day. That's okay, we know that the chapter divisions were not inspired, but this is the completion then of the creation week. So far, you should have noticed the repetition of this phrase, and there was evening and there was morning, the whatever day. And now we come to the seventh day. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them, everything that filled them. And on the seventh day, God finished his work that he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work that he had done. So God rested because he was finished. He didn't rest because he was tired. He was finished. Creation was what he wanted it to be. The stage is now set for the drama of redemption. So God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it God rested from all his work that he had done in creation. So 6 days for labor, 1 day for rest. And God's example then became the pattern to follow, as is made clear in the fourth of the Ten Commandments. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. In other words, God based his command upon the example that he set in creation week. In fact, Moses even says that. He explains after giving that command, for reason, in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. So God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, set apart. That's what the word holy means. Set it apart as being different than the other six. Set it apart as being a day of rest. A day to take a break from all the normal grind of the week and worship him, love him, and rejoice in our Creator. So, how does all this apply to us? Well, very simply, in contrast to the society that we live in, man is not the beginning and end of all things. God is. We are not the center of the universe. God is. We are created beings, totally dependent beings. Without God giving us life each day, we would not be here. We are not free to run our lives independently, doing as we please. We live under the authority of the one who made us. The very fact that we received life from him means we now owe God everything. The ramifications of that are profound, and you will have to explore that in prayer and submission to the Word of God and the leading of the Holy Spirit, but we now owe him everything. So the point of Genesis 1 is clear. God made everything, and everything he made was good and for his glory. Therefore, when we pattern our lives in simple faith and obedience to his original plan, then we live within the fullest experience of his blessing.
Thanks for listening. If you'd like to listen again, you can find the program on our website at delightintheword.org, or you can find the program on most podcast platforms. The fact that God exists and that he is the creator of the universe is clearly taught in Scripture. Since none of us was there at the moment of creation, we must take this truth by faith. So a key question is this: is the Bible reliable? To answer this question, this month we're offering an insightful book written by R.C. Sproul titled, Can I Trust the Bible? We'll send it to you for a donation to this ministry of any amount. You can give on our website at delightintheword.org, and thank you. This program has been brought to you by Cornerstone Community Church in Mayfield Heights, Ohio. If you live near Cleveland and you're not already involved in a church, we invite you to visit us at Cornerstone. We'll continue our series next time as we together delight in the Word.